All right, we're live. All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the huddle. It's me, Coach Muddle, along with Coach Billy. How you doing, buddy?
Live from my basement, and no, it's not my mama's because she don't have
them. All right, we are rocking and rolling. I hope everybody got their clocks changed, got that extra hour of sleep. I much needed it. I'll explain that here in a minute, but I want to just touch on the World Series ended last night, and Philly had their chances. Let's call it how it is. They had their chances, and they let it slip away. But hey, they put up. They did better than the Yankees. How about that? They won a couple of games.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. They are okay. Who we thought they were, and in my opinion, we let them off the hook. But nah, honestly, we just got to refine some pitching things, and everybody's like, oh God, if you add another hitter, you have a super team, but I think we need one more hitter. You can't just rely on Bryce Harper just himself to get the job done. You just can't, in my personal humble opinion.
Right.
So that's where I'm at with that. Like I said, you got one a dynamic pitcher, really. You got a few closers or relievers here and there, but just got to add probably maybe one or two more pieces from being a very dominant baseball team.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll see. I think the Giants are a ways away. I mean, the Yankees are a ways away, but we'll see how the offseason goes, and the Aaron Judge watch is on. Are the Yankees going to re-sign him, or is it is he going to San Francisco? Because he's from there, and that was his team growing up. And something to be said about playing for the team you rooted for as a kid. I mean, playing in the backyard and come on. I mean, we all did it. So
I'm going to stop you right there. These guys nowadays are not about that. They don't want to play for their home team unless their home team is dominant. They are.
Okay. But they get, yes, Billy, but guys today also are about the coin. And San Francisco has a lot of coin, and they publicly said they are not going to be outbid by anyone for Aaron Judge. So right there, that means, with that being said, it's what are the Yankees going to offer, and how much more is San Fran going to offer for him to leave?
And here's where I disagree with that. They could talk all that noise. Yeah, we're not going to be outbid by anybody. But let me tell you something. You go ahead and unload the Brinks truck on that guy and see what happens and don't get anybody else. You go ahead and do that. I hope they do that because I'm like, okay, you're that guy. You're just going to pay that guy. All right, cool. Good job.
Well, Philadelphia thought they were going to do that when they signed Bryce Harper. Remember, and now they figured out, oh, we need to add some pieces, and they've kind of been slowly adding those pieces, which I think costs them instead of trying to, kind of do it in a little quicker pace. You know what I mean? And the Yankees too. The Yankees went out and spent all this money on Gerrit Cole, thinking he's the fix. Not. And we have $200-300 million guys. I mean, now you're going to add a third who's probably closer to $400 million. How can you not pay him Mike Trout money? I mean, how do you not pay him that kind of money? I mean, Mike Trout, how do you wouldn't even know he exists out there in Atlanta. Anaheim. When was the last time he even played?
I'm going to tell you now, the Yankees are a $2 million machine waiting on a 2-cent part. That's what they are. They are a $2 million machine waiting on a 2-cent part.
Well, they're probably about a $12 billion machine, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's got to be so frustrating. Like, my God, just one one or two more pieces, and you got a hell of a baseball team, you know.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Yeah. All right, now that baseball's over, we can move on. You know, we can move on and talk about some real sports now.
Yes, sir.
And before I forget, a shout out to Beans. I know I forget every week, and unfortunately this week I got to talk about Alabama losing in overtime. And, you know, hey, props to Brian Kelly. First year, and you beat Alabama. It took overtime. But she gets on me every week, tells me how come I don't talk about Alabama. And so, hey, here's your Alabama spot, Beans. Unfortunately, hey, props to Brian Kelly. I know it's got to be. And now you're out of the playoff race, man.
I'm going to tell you right now, I never thought I would live to see the day where Alabama is a two-loss team.
You know, I was trying to think, when was the last time they were a two-loss team? I think it had to be about 5, 6, 7 years ago, I think.
Maybe more. I mean, I just – looking how dominant they've been over the last
Yeah, you years, forget. I mean, you know.
They've been so dominant. And for them to lose that way to honestly a lesser, I'm going to say it.
Yeah, I agree.
A lesser LSU football team. Oh, God. Is this the start of the decline of the almighty Nicholas Big Nick Saban? Is this it?
No, it is not.
Is this the start?
No, it's not. I don't think it's the start. But you got to remember now. I think now that everybody's paying players now, it's the playing field's going to be level. I just think that now it's not, Alabama, but also kids today want to go and play. They don't want to earn it. You know, look at it. Look at that the transfer portal is packed with kids because they want to go and play. They're used to being that big fish in the little pond. And then they go to Alabama. And when I was at the college level, I used to tell kids this all the time. Look, the pond's the same size as it was in high school. We just stock it with bigger fish.
Yeah.
You either eat or get eaten, one or the other, and that's the problem. I think a lot of kids are passing on an Alabama to go somewhere else so they can play.
Well,
they don't want to earn it. I guess, you know.
Well, I'm going to say yes and no. Here's the other problem, right? And I'm so glad Northwestern got smacked in the face at the end yesterday and couldn't get it done. Here's why. You guys open that Pandora's box saying, oh, players should be played, NIL, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? It backfired, Dodo Birds. You lost because you can't get people in because you're NIL versus Ohio State.
Right.
And everyone else is crap. So right. You get what you deserve. So going on to the other part of what I was talking about, listen, here's why you might see not the crash of Nick Saban, but he might be coming down to earth a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's coming down to earth.
Yo, college free agency is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it literally is. It's like, all right, man. So, I did my first year with this team. You know, who can offer me this? You know what I mean?
Right.
And if you can pay that big contract, I'm for hire. Let's go.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what it's about.
And you're never going to see a guy play more than 2-3 max at an institution. You're never going to see a 4-year guy ever again.
I bet you're right. You're right.
You're not now a 3-star, you know, maybe 1 or 2 4-stars. You're never going to see a 5-star athlete play more, definitely now. Especially right. With the NFL deal, definitely now you're never going to see a 5-star guy play 4 years at an institution. That day is done.
I agree with that.
And it's crazy because now UD thinks they're going to throw their hat in the ring. they're really talking about doing it as soon as not next year, but the following year. Jumping the Appalachian States conference. They're going to get their doors blown off.
Wait, who's that?
University of Delaware.
Oh, really? They're finally going to make the jump, huh? Hey, look, it is, because I there was a lot of talk back in the Casey Keeler era at UD of them making the jump after the Joe Flacco championship of right. them making the jump and here Delaware because I remember this, we like being the big fish in the little pond. That was the mantra around Delaware, and when you talk to those UD alumni about that, and I always thought they could make the jump. It should be the jump, because you know right down the street you have Del State, and I'm sorry, the perception, and your dad's a Del State, I'm the Del State guy. But the perception is it's your little half brother, not even your brother. It's your little half brother, right. is what he is down the street and get no respect. And I think, yeah, why don't you move up? UD move up so at least Del State get a better paycheck now when we play you. You know, on that note, because I mean, look. Come on, you're talking about two schools that are equal in football, you know, level of play, on paper, level of play. So with that being equal, you take your son to those two schools, Billy. Which one are you going? Where are you going to take your kid?
UD. It's
right. I mean, just because the facility.
Actually, I'm going to take that back. Here's why I'm going to take him to Delaware State. Here's why I'm going to take him.
Wait. You got to take all family out of it and all of that out of it. I'm just saying, if you were just some dude from the Midwest and you came on a recruiting trip, you went through Del State, then you drove up the street to UD and went on a recruiting trip, and they're both offering you a scholarship, no NIL deal, no, none of that, just a scholarship. And you walk through the facilities. Where are you going?
Right. And that's where I'm trying to get facilities. Okay. Yes. But when you look at the tradition in history, like seriously, I had three people talk to me this past weekend ago about, you know, Delaware State, and they unfortunately lost their homecoming. Robert Mitchell, our guy was
right. Our guy, Robert Mitchell, came through. Yep,
North Carolina Central. Yep, one of the captains. They said it was packed. It's the most packed it's been in years. Like there was standing room only on both sides. A couple other people showed me pictures from UD's homecoming, and it's just like you can shoot a cannonball off. I'm telling you, it's a different
situation. What's up, Jared?
What's going on, Jared? And if Delaware State could ever, and it starts with the top.
Yeah.
If their leaders could ever get a vision together,
yes,
and ever upgrade their facilities, mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. And Tubby Raymond probably will roll in his grave. UD would be in trouble.
Listen, when I was there, they had the pile of they had a pallet of bricks and stuff because they were doing something. And I remember Coach goes, "Yep, they're starting the renovations to upgrade the stadium." And
and the bad part is, if they could ever rope it off, Delaware State could get some high recruits from some schools, some power schools in Delaware, because those guys really, like, when you look at the like where they want to go or the direction, besides a few of the big major guys, the guys that could play and actually get you some things done, they don't really want to leave.
Right. A lot of these guys don't want to leave. They don't.
I mean, look at what Wesley did forever. Forever, and Drass was a genius for this. I'll never forget Delaware's the Delaware Gatorade Player of the Year. He had him in his office. And he had so many great players, he had the option to say, you know what? We don't want you. Goodbye.
Right. I always thought, because, you know, and now obviously things have changed, but because I'm talking years ago. But I always thought Casey Keeler, the biggest part of his success was getting that disgruntled guy from the big school. Like, you know, you brought in Flacco from Pittsburgh. You got guys from Penn State. You got guys from Rutgers. You brought these guys in to help you compete, and that's what made you good. And you sprinkled in a couple of guys, you know, maybe some couple of Delaware guys in there. And that was – and I always thought, well, geez, why do we have to recreate the wheel? They've already done that. Right. You know, my time at Del State – I didn't think we did enough of going after those guys or even going to those Delaware guys. Like you said, the guys that go to Florida or Virginia Tech. And, you know, hey, if you're not happy there, you have a home here. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
And to come back. And I don't think we did enough of those, making those connections and those bonds with guys to letting them know that, hey, if it's tough there, you've got a place to come here, you know? I know that the college game in recruiting and all that has changed. The landscape has changed dramatically.
Drastically.
So, you know, it's really totally different. So, but it'd be nice to see it. I said for years, I thought Delaware State should move up to one of those conferences as well. I was a big proponent of that because of the money. You're going to make more money getting into those conferences than you are in the MEAC. And you watched Hampton leave. You watched these other schools leave the conference. And I'm just afraid that Del State's going to be left holding the bag.
Yeah.
Because they're stubborn and their stubbornness to be I just feel like they're so desperate to hold on to that HBCU moniker and be into an HBCU conference. And I feel like, you know, you're always going to be an HBCU. Doesn't mean you have to play in an HBCU conference, so to speak. It's about money and making money and getting, you know, I mean, I just didn't understand it .
Well, it's the tradition. Like I said,
I understand the whole, you know, don't, you know, I know somebody, oh, you're just a dumb white guy. You don't know. You don't understand it. I do understand. I was there at that institution for a few years. I know I got 2 degrees from that institution. I understand the history and everything that goes with it, but I also understand the dollars and the financial stuff that goes into, the athletics of running a small time institution like that. And sometimes you have to make a concession to do that. And I think leaving the MEAC and moving to a different conference would help them tremendously.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing. What I'm saying is this, this is what I'm saying. Okay. Delaware State, their leaders have little vision and hold on 1 second. Hey, Anthony Price, good morning, man. Thanks for tuning in. Sammy, appreciate you tuning
What's
in.
What's up, guys? What's up, man?
What's up, fellas? But the thing is, when your leaders have no vision, and this happens in college, high school, everywhere, when your leaders have zero vision, you unfortunately get caught in the wash, and that's Del State's problem. Their leaders have no vision.
Right.
You know, they don't. And it's sad because you have, like, they have a quarterback that is pretty special. Delaware State does currently. And I know a couple of your guys, you know, down in Florida. I know you're trying to get them down there.
I've been on coach, sending him film, all the time. And I, and, I'm like, listen, when are you getting down to Florida? You got to get a guy down there because we got some cats that could play. And, you know, and I know, you know, you got Florida A&M and Bethune coming in and offering guys. And I'm like, you know, I'm a Del State guy. It's hard for me to swallow watching them other schools come in here and offer our cats, you know, because I'm like, right. Hey, man, wait a second. We need to get some Hornet love down here, man. What's up with that?
But not only that, though, you look at Bethune-Cookman, you look at Florida A&M, and you're like, those guys really aren't that good. Like, I watched them play. They're not good at all. So it's just like, they used to be one of the feared, two feared teams in the conference, and they're trash. They're bad.
Well, so, they're not there anymore. They're not there anymore because they've moved on. And you know, like I said, that's what I'm afraid that Del State's going to be stuck holding the bag because all these other schools are leaving. And now, you know, Rod's done an awesome job. I mean, you're talking about taking a a 1,000-car freight train and turning it around. And it takes some time. And he has, you know, you're finally starting to see some fruits of the labor that he has done over the last few years of now, you know, and getting those W's and you know, because now when you start winning, obviously kids want to win. They don't want to go to an 0-10 team or 1-9. They want to go and win. And now, you know, you're starting to see the W's. You're starting to see them compete. Big win in overtime this past week.
Yes, so, absolutely. Congratulations,
you know,
Rod.
Yeah, congratulations to those guys. So, you know, it's so now you're starting to see them get those recruits in and starting to see the fruits of that labor. So, and I just hope that it's not for naught that all of a sudden, you know, they're going to be, well, the MEAC's closing down. So you're going to be SOL and
yeah. Independent. And, you know. And I'm be honest with you. And, you know, I grew up on that campus. You know, I went to Wesley, but I bleed the blue and red, but let me tell you something. Delaware State, I love the institution of death, cannot survive being independent. That football program will close.
Right.
And it'll be a shame because all the rich tradition, you look at John Taylor, Rod Milstead, guy that did kick the Canadian for league, Chuck Popolis. You look at all those guys. And I mean, Curtis Thomas for a while. Yeah. You look at all those guys and what they've done before. And for that program to be on, you know, if it were, God forbid, to go independent, for that to be the demise of it, it would be sad. It really would be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 110%, man. So,
well, moving on.
Let's get on to some NFL stuff. Maybe. You know, we got, no Eagles, no Giants today because the Eagles played on Thursday night, so they're off. First time the Eagles have been 8-0.
Jesus.
And is did they do it in 04? I know they were 7-0.
It's definitely the first time ever. And I'm going to say this now because I know everybody says the same thing. Their schedule's weak. It's the NFL. It is not college. It is not high school. These are professional athletes. Stop.
Yeah, you're right. Stop. You're right.
Because if it was anybody else, if it was the Cowboys, you still have to line up and play. Yep. You know, it's okay. We understand. Nobody likes us. We don't care. Nobody likes us. We get it. But I'm going to say this too for all my fellow Eagles fans. Relax. It is still early. Week 13 will tell the tale. I'm eating a large piece of humble pie because I've seen even a glorious run like this go south very quickly, like on I-95 south, going 95 the wrong way. Yo, I get it. We're 8-0. It's looking good. We still have the NFC.
Hey, you can take a look out in Arizona because they went 8-0, and I think they didn't miss the playoffs, but they didn't even win their division.
They snuck in. Yeah, they had to sneak in.
Right.
That's why I'm like, man, you got you gotta relax, guys. I get it. You know, next week we got the Commanders, and it should be an easy win. But you know, we gotta relax, man. We really do as a fan base. I've been the first always to be like, they're like, hey, Eagles fans are annoying, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. You guys just don't like us. But now people are like, oh yeah, we're gonna do what the Dolphins did. I'm like, what?
What did the Dolphins do?
Undefeated.
Oh, like, 72 Dolphins. I thought you meant recently. I'm like,
no.
Oh, come on.
I'm like, God. Hey,
can I just tell you? Can I just tell you the perception of Philadelphia to me? And, you know, because being an outsider looking in, is Philadelphia just can't keep their hands off the money. They touch the money constantly. They celebrate a World Series before they got it. They touch the money.
Okay. Because we're the city of champions, baby.
They see it in the background. They touch the money.
You see it.
Stop touching the money.
No, because we're the city of champs. We're the city of champs, man. Champions of the United States.
Man.
Yes, sir. We're the city of champs, baby. That's why. But no, I you know, I'm trolling. I get it. Trust me. We in the past,
we've Anthony, found a way look, to it up. You know, let me throw this up here for you, Billy. You know, Anthony, you know, you know, look,
it's scheduled, yeah, man.
Look, it's scheduled. It's scheduled too. But I still think that, you know, look, Buffalo's got a phenomenal team. They still need a running game. I mean, obviously, they've lost it. They've lost the game. You know, they can be beat, but. You know, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see a Buffalo Philadelphia Super Bowl. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, you know, come on. Look, coming into the season. Wait a second, Billy. Coming into the season, you know, okay, you talked about the, you know, oh, it's going to be a fight between Philadelphia and Dallas in that division. It's going to be Green Bay, it's going to be Tampa and the Rams. And well, everybody's falling off except for Philadelphia. I mean, I honestly, if Philadelphia, I can't see them having a drop off. I mean, I honestly think they're going to drop a couple of games just because as you get later in the season, they're going to start resting guys before the playoffs and stuff like that. I think they drop a game or two.
Dude,
I think all roads in the NFC are going to lead through Philadelphia to get to the Super Bowl.
But look at our conference. Everybody's like, your schedule's horrible. If you look at all the conference records, right, besides the obvious Redskins, I'm sorry, I'm not doing cancel culture. They are the right. Redskins. To the day they're the Redskins to the day they bury me. The Bumskins. Besides them, look at the division. Look at the conference. 62. Look at everywhere else. You look at the AFC. Look,
the Vikings too. They're were they 6-1?
Yeah, I mean, but look at everywhere else. You got the AFC West, right? Kansas City 5-2, the Chargers 4-3. They're the only two teams. The other two teams are under 500.
Right.
I mean, AFC South. There's only one team with an over 500 record. AFC North.
One team. Hey, last week the Giants were the only the Giant game was the only two teams that played each other that both teams were over 500.
We are that conference, the NFC East, and everybody's like, oh, your guys are weak. It's only Philly.
No, it's back. It's look back in yeah. the remember back in the 80s, it was all roads go through the NFC East because yes. You know, it was a dogfight week in and week out with those teams, and now it's getting back to that because now the Giants have jumped up leaps and bounds. I mean, I am even shocked that they're as good as they are. And, right. I mean, honestly, it's just a mess in Washington. I think once they sell the team and get a new coach and stuff, you know, they'll come around. But you know, it's a three-team race in the division.
I said this forever. The Redskins – if they get an owner, not even a coach, it's the owner, man. Your stadium's falling apart. You just do off the wall things outside of the organization. once they get a new owner, and once and I've said it, once the Redskins get a new owner and once the Cowboys get a new owner, it's going to be scary. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Because they'll finally have people that they're just stay out the way and just, you know, sign paperwork.
Right.
And that's what you need. That's what you need out of an owner. But you guys, moving forward, your guys are looking good. I told you.
You're right. Because Jeff Bezos is the guy, you know, looking to, you know, his name, him and Jay-Z going to buy the Redskins. And you know, every week they're going to be on Prime. So every Redskin fan better go buy Amazon if you don't have it, so you can watch the Redskins.
I'm still not sold on it, man. The graphics are horrible.
For me, it keeps like skipping in and out. Only on the football game. Nothing else. I don't know if that happens to anybody else. I can't watch it
Yeah, it's happened to everybody. Everybody I know that has it's happened to them. Like it goes every now and then for me, but.
Right.
Everybody I know, they're like, the graphics horrible. It's not HD. It like skips in and out of HD. Amazon Prime, get it together, because you're about to like, oh man, messing up the church's money, man.
Because I actually like watching where they put the stats up and they you know, and it's real. You know, I like watching that version of the game, but I just can't. Because of the sound, it goes in and out. It's skipping. It's like an old school record going, gets skipping. You know.
Let's call a spade a spade. It's crap. It is absolute dog water, hammered dog crap. Whatever you want to say, it is awful, and they need to get it together. But your guys are on a bye this week, right?
That's right. We're on a bye. Rest up, and then we get back to back Houston and. The Lions. So, you know, before we go to Dallas on Thanksgiving. So, you know, and you know, as a fan talking, you know, up to tune-up games before Dallas on Thanksgiving, you know. But, hey, you know, look, Detroit is still – I mean, they gave up one of their best players, I thought. I don't know what they were thinking in the you know, your tight end. I mean – how do you give that guy up in your division? I mean, that even makes even crazier.
I would have never. First of all, if someone would have came to my office and proposed that trade, I would have fired him on the spot. I'm like, but, you know what? You have 24 hours to clean out your office.
I just don't understand how you get a. First of all, it's in your division, but there's a guy you bought you took in the first round, and that's a piece to build on. There's a guy to build on because, look, you've proven Jared Goff really isn't the guy, right? He's not the guy. So you're going to get a quarterback probably in the draft this year. And what better than to have a tight end safety blanket for him? I don't get it.
I'm telling you.
I'm putting this up, Anthony, for you. I just want Billy to see it. It's just for Billy.
Let me tell you something, Anthony. It was over when they blew the whistle. Stop. Come on, man.
Come on. They were up 7-0 at one point, man. Billy. The Texans hung in there 14-14 for a bit.
So we're going to do that? It could have been a contender. Come on. Stop.
Wait a second. Billy, hold on a minute. My point is you let them hang around for a while. And you know what happens when you let those teams hang around for a while. Sometimes it ends bad for you.
Okay.
All right. And I'm just saying, you know, look, I felt, so Friday night, you know, shout out Port Charlotte, man, conference champs, second chip in school history. Congratulations to all those guys. And I've got a spot at the end, but I'm going to get into that. But you know, that team, look, Port Charlotte, we were a much better football team. And, you know, they needed some trick plays to stay in the game, but they were still in the game. You know what I mean? There was a time where, you know, they could have at point, because we let them hang around, I felt, a little too long. before we, you know, look, step on the neck and don't let off. And
hey, what my man Herm say? You play to win the game.
That's right.
It ain't win the game, Skilt. They ain't win it.
You're right. You gotta win it.
Hey, you need to quit it, Skilt. Quit it, Skilt. Man, that coffee got you thinking, huh? Come on, man. Hey, listen, we get it. We've been down this road before. Nobody likes us. We don't care. We just win.
There you go.
And
but wait a second. And anybody can go back in episodes the last 2 years of, and I believe it was myself, the non-Eagle fan in this, talking Billy, Nevada Nick, Stiz off the ledge of, oh, Hurts is terrible. Hurts is guy, you know, we got to get, he's not the guy. I'm sorry, but I remember saying he was the guy and he needed some time. He needed this. He needed to run the football. And now all of a sudden you go out and get a legitimate receiver. Honestly, I'm going to say this, Billy, and I know Billy's going to say something.
Okay.
But this is the first time you've had a legit number one receiver since Terrell Owens.
What? What?
Come on, tell me. Tell me who else. Wait a second.
Oh, my God.
Tell me. A legit number one in their prime. Because what was the dude you got when you won the Super Bowl? That dude was kind of past his prime, I felt like.
What was his name? Torrey? Talk about?
You got I forget who the other receiver was, but no, you got him. He was wasn't even a number one. That was just, he was a speedster and one coming off of the
but look at who Ravens, look at who our tight ends were. We had top tight ends from the
great. Exactly. But I'm just talking about, we're not talking about the tight end position, we're talking about wide receiver position.
But at that point,
have not had a legitimate number one receiver in the building since Terrell Owens.
That's not what,
until now that you've got the receiver now.
Let the Eagles guy explain why. Because at that given time, our offense was not predicated on that. We were hitting
You went out and got Rigor over Jefferson. You kept you were like Detroit at one time. Didn't Detroit spend like every year with drafting receiver after receiver and just couldn't do it? I just felt the Eagles were turning into that.
We got Rigor over Metcalf. DK Metcalf. That's who we took him over. We could have had Metcalf.
But you could have had Jefferson as well.
So who would you rather have, Metcalf or Jefferson?
I think Jefferson.
Oh, my Lord. No way. No way. Not in a month.
Look, Billy, you got two Pro Bowl. You got two Pro Bowl receivers. I don't think either one, you're going. Metcalf, either one is wrong. Either one is wrong.
No.
Justin Jefferson or DJ Metcalf. Neither one is huge. Wrong.
Metcalf is huge.
Okay. But look at what
Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson, even with a terrible quarterback, is blowing up Randy Moss's records for the Vikings. Come on now.
Because everything's underneath. Throw a 50-50
ball. Who cares?
Hold on. Throw a 50-50 jump ball.
Billy,
who are you taking it on? Metcalf or Jefferson? 50-50 jump ball.
Again, you know this as a coach, because now you're starting to talk like a fan, but you design the plays to their strength. Okay, you do what they're good at. So if Jefferson's good underneath, then you throw the ball underneath.
You better be lucky I can't put stuff up. Stiz said it best. What about the Shaw Jack? D-Jack! Yeah! Yeah! What about him? Let's talk about it.
I don't think D-Jack was the number one. He was a one-trick pony. D-Jack was a one-trick pony.
He had thousands of tricks.
One-trick pony straight down the field. He blew by everybody. That was it. He couldn't run a route.
Oh, Mike. He couldn't run a route.
He couldn't run a route.
He could do it all. Are you serious?
He Miracle. Was a punt returner slash,
Stiz, and that's exactly why he won't admit it, because Stiz, he's still butthurt about Miracle at the Meadowlands Part 2. He's still pissed.
Listen, that's right. Pissed. Alshon Jeffrey, Anthony, thank you. Pissed. Alshon Jeffrey wasn't number one, but I felt like he really wasn't. He was past his prime. I'm talking about, you brought in when Terrell Owens got here, he was still in his prime. He was, under 30. I think Jeffrey was over 30 when you guys brought him in during that last Super Bowl, because he just fell off right after the Super Bowl too, didn't he?
But he wasn't 100% even in the Super Bowl. Remember, he had that ankle injury.
Okay, but I'm just saying, in their prime, number one receiver you have not had since Terrell Owens, and I'm standing by that, Stiz. I don't care what any of you crazy ass Eagle fans say.
Because it wasn't predicated on a major receiver. We were hitting all tight ends.
Last time when you had a legit wide receiver, you went to the Super Bowl. I understand the one you won, you didn't really need a receiver. It wasn't really predicated on that.
We had Ertz. We had
you have a legit number one. My point is, you have a legit number one receiver, and how much better is your quarterback this season because of what you've done at the receiver, not at the tight end, not anywhere else, but what you put at wide receiver. What you put there has made you guys, okay, because now, Stiz, tell me if I'm wrong. Would I not talking you and Nevada Nick off the ledge? Hurts isn't the guy. He's really not the guy. Every time the Eagles would lose because they couldn't run the football and Hurts had to pass the ball 35 times a game, they would lose. Now, all of a sudden, you put a number one receiver out there and he is a damn MVP caliber quarterback.
Because he has more weapons. You talk about, okay, we got the major whatever in A.J. Brown, right? A.J. Brown last game for the Texans had 4 receptions, 59 yards, 1 touchdown. Ask me how many Goddard had. 8 receptions, 100 yards. What are we talking about here, Dan? What are we talking about? He's
number one legit number one receiver.
All right, man. Here's what I'm telling you. I said it, and if you want to go back and play the tapes, I said if in fact, and I ate crow from the initial thing. I said if in fact he gets a couple more pieces around him, he will be a good quarterback, and hence he's now a big time guy. The thing that I said all along is that we needed to get rid of Wentz because Wentz. His durability is shot, and it's proving right. Look at what he's doing in Washington. He's not durable. And everybody's like, oh, well, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't get in. Okay, but when it came down to the major factor, right, he couldn't get it done because he couldn't stay in the game. And the one year he checked himself out.
But part of that is – that was all his head. It's all in his head, man. It's all in his head.
Yo, he's at this night. Nah, here's head. What I'm
going to do. Yeah, come on, Billy. Look, Billy, I don't care. You go and drive into the office every day, and you got to stare at a damn statue of your backup when you walk into the building every day. You're telling me that's not messing with your head.
Listen.
You are compared to your backup. You're not compared to the greats in the building. A little bit different being compared to greats in the building. Okay? Yo.
It's one play, one playoff. At that point, you're a grown man. Get the heck over it, man. It's you. It's listen, so tough.
Some people can. Some people can, and some people can't. Obviously, Wentz can't. Wentz, is what I'm saying.
Wentz has shown the fact that he is not mentally tough or physically tough. He's just not. And it's nothing against the guy. He's a great guy outside of football. I'd buy him a beer any day of the week. However, however.com, he can't get it done. I'm sorry. He was glass made. I called him that from day one. I had a guy actually block me on Facebook because I said he was trash. And I bet you that same guy is saying the same stuff. EK saying the same stuff. So anyway, but he mentally, he's on the same caliber as Ben Simmons. He's mush rice. He's weak. He's weak-minded. And now okay. We have a quarterback that played at the University of Alabama, so he's used to the big rooms. He's used to the big-time pressure. It's the difference. I don't know, what's this say? Hurts has matured for sure. We said he had to see what he could do with weapons. Now he has them. He's producing. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Hey, Price. Nah, I'm not gonna agree.
No,
with you.
He wasn't good. He wasn't good with the Colts. No, he wasn't.
No way. No way, bro. He. That was the product of.
Look, all you had to do was win. All you had to do was win a football game, and you couldn't do it. Instead, didn't he throw two picks in that game?
Yeah. Because they stopped going to their bread and butter. Taylor's that guy.
Right.
He's that guy. If right now with all the backs we have in the league, right, there are two backs that I would absolutely build my entire organization around, right? Obviously, Derrick Henry or Taylor. They're both amazing backs, and they're still young. They're still in their prime. Why wouldn't you? Like, I don't get it, man. I don't, and I get that you're. I mean, I understand that. That's your the guy you backed the Brinks truck up for. But if he's not producing, why? Just why? Run the damn ball. Run it.
Yeah, I agree.
Run it. All right, let's get into these games this week, man. So we got the Chargers and the Falcons. Who are you taking, Coach?
I think the Chargers got to bounce back. And I've been busy. I haven't even looked at it. I don't know who's hurt. I don't know nothing. I'm just pulling names out of my backside right now. So you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Chargers only because again, you have a team that's
well, you know, we got Chris, friends of the program. How do you go against friends of the program? It's so of course we go with the Chargers, you know.
I say the Chargers sneak one on the road. I got them going. You got the Dolphins and the Bears in Chicago. It's still not too cold. I think Dolphins at 5-3 go ahead, and I'd say I give them by 14 against the Bears.
I don't know. I think the Bears have figured something out with their quarterback, and I think they steal one.
I'm gonna tell you right now. You ain't stealing much, throwing seven touchdowns. You got one more touchdown than you do picks. I'm going Miami. I'm sorry. Justin Fields is an Ohio State guy. I don't do it just because he's from Ohio State. But, I mean, you threw seven touchdowns and six picks. Nah, not that guy. I'm going Dolphins on that one. You got the Panthers versus the Bengals. Panthers, Carolina in Cincinnati. Carolina's just imploding at this point. I'm gonna.
Why go. they beat Tom Brady? They beat Tom Brady last week. Come on now, they're not imploding. I mean, now that doesn't mean I'm gonna pick them, but they're you can't say they're imploding. They should be imploding, but they beat Tom Brady.
They are 2-6, and they beat a Giselle ridden Tom Brady. They didn't beat Tom Brady, New England Tom Brady. Hell, they didn't even beat Super Bowl Tom Brady. They beat Tom Brady about to get a divorce Tom Brady. He is no longer that guy. Mentally, he is not here. I don't know. I don't know where he's probably. He's probably back in New England wishing he was. But no, seriously, no. Joe Burrow is usually comes on about this time, and it's literally what he did last year. So I'm gonna go with the Showtime Joe. I got the Bengals.
Okay.
By 10. I got Bengals by 10.
Okay.
Bengals by 10. You got, oh gosh, you got battle of bad versus ugly. Green Bay in Detroit, usually an interesting game. You know what? Screw it. I'm gonna be the troll. I'm going Lions by 3.
All right, I like that.
Lions by 3. You know they're at home, home crowd advantage, all that good stuff. Aaron Rodgers has proven that. You know, he downgraded. He broke up, and then instead of going out with the secretary of the student body, he went out with the tuba player. He went out with the female tuba player. And so, man.
No, I think Aaron writes the ship. I'm gonna stick with Green Bay.
All right, man. We'll see. Hey, discount double check. He discounted, but I don't call him no double check at this point. You got the Colts at an interesting 3-4-1 versus the 500 Patriots in New England. It's outside, baby. I'm going Patriots. That wind's probably blowing right now down there. So
yeah.
So I got Patriots by 14 over the Colts.
14. I think the Patriots figure it out and get back on track. I think, I don't know that they win by 14, but yeah, they win.
Yeah, they win, definitely. Interesting matchup here. The 6-1 favorite Bills.
Zappy's not starting.
5-3 Jets.
As much as I want to go J-E-T, Jets, you know, come on. Buffalo's a buzzsaw there.
It's obvious. I give Bills by 14.
Okay. You just love 14 today.
I give Bills by – no, because it's a trap game in a way. It really is a trap game for them because Everybody's writing off the Jets. Oh, the Jets are crap, blah, blah, blah. We've been writing them off for how many weeks now, and they're 5-3. Right. So they're obviously dangerous to a point. So we'll see. You got Vikings versus the Bumskins. Oh, it's a no-brainer, Vikings.
Yeah.
Vikings by 21 or more.
Yeah.
You got the Raiders at the Jags. Interesting. 2-5 versus 2-6. They don't have a quarterback that Adams really can bond with.
What do you mean? They were college roommates.
We ain't in college no more, Chad. We ain't in college no more, homie. It's different. We grown out here, baby. Man, I got. You know what?
That's going to be a great matchup, Sauce against Diggs. But, I would be surprised if Sauce gets a pick today. But I still don't think the Jets win.
You mean Jags?
No, Anthony just posted up to see what Sauce Gardner can do against Diggs today in the Buffalo Jets game. I can't go against the Raider Nation, man. I can't go against Raider Nation. I'm going with the Raiders today.
Raiders. All right, man. We'll go with the Raiders then. Next you have the Seahawks. Oh boy. In Arizona. I'm going Seahawks here, man.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going Seahawks by 28. You know, they're going up against the mental midget Kyler Murray. Are you bigger than the fifth grader, Kyler Murray? And Seahawks, they'll win. Oh boy, Super Bowl slump 3-4 Rams versus the I got Giselle on my mind. Tom Brady Buccaneers
at Tampa. Must win for both teams. Where is it at?
It's at Tampa. It's in Tampa. I'm a huge Aaron Donald fan. I really am, but unless they get another guy to take all the pressure off of him, I can't see it going any other way. Tom Brady rebounds. Buccaneers, right. I guess. You got a very, very high key matchup for the primetime nighttime game. Titans 5-2 at Kansas City, Arrowhead. They're in Arrowhead. If they were in Tennessee, I would be Titans. I'm going Mahomes, Chiefs, Patrick.
I'm going. I think King. They don't stop King Henry.
I don't know, man.
They chew up the clock and they do it. I'm going with King Henry.
But here's the thing: can they keep up with Patrick Kerber, the Frog here, Mahomes? Can they keep up with him?
Look, your best. Sometimes your best defense is your offense. So you know,
I'm going Chiefs. I got Chiefs by 10.
Oh man! All right, you love all these double digit win games, but all right.
Now,
Monday night.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Ravens at 5-3 at New Orleans, 3-5. Trap game. Yeah, that's him.
Oh man, I'm going Ravens. That's a no-brainer.
Ravens. Yeah, Ravens by double digits. Ravens by double digits.
So
by 21.
All right, everyone. Listen, I got to cut it off because at 11 o'clock, the playoff bracket for Florida high school football comes on YouTube. So I got to get there to see how that playoff bracket works. Thanks everyone for showing up. I appreciate it. Shout out for everybody. Really appreciate everybody. Hope you got your time change on schedule. And enjoy some football. Be safe. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks a lot. Tell your friends. Share it out. We appreciate you. Have a great one. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.